Welcome to the Hour of Truth, a topical radio Bible show broadcast by the Fishman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishmanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, welcome everybody. This is another Hour of Truth. I'm Paul Muller. I have Philip Walthall here on my right, Brad Capshaw on my right, and James Uther out there in the Georgia Annex, Elberton, Georgia Annex of the Fishman Ministries. Welcome and good morning, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
All right, I'm going to get up and close my microphone off and try and clear my throat. So, somebody else talk.
James.
Phil. I'm just kidding.
The new title of loading engineering on small vehicles. So, what'd you get out of service?
Well, I really liked what Scott Bishop had to say this morning. And about the new management for those that didn't hear it. Because when we take on the name of Jesus Christ, he becomes our Lord. Not only is he the Savior, but he's also our Lord, and that's where we struggle. But when we take his name, we fall under his management. And I would say, if we're truthful, we probably have a lot to grow in that area of really making him our Lord.
Amen. And, you know, that opportunity of walking under that new management under the Lord Jesus Christ is ever before us. I mean, it really is ever before us. And there's no excuse for us not to walk that out. And it's simply designed. And we can walk through this whole hour of how this all came about and how clear it is and what the opportunity is right there for you.
The problem is we don't really read this stuff the way it's spoken and intended. This thing about when you become a Christian, you know, you have been baptized, assuming you've been baptized, in the blood of Jesus. You have become a partaker of Jesus. In 1 John, it says, if you've received Jesus, so walk like Jesus walked, right?
That's right.
In 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This isn't a smorgasbord where you get to pick and choose off of the plates. It's not a buffet. It's not something you take and choose what you want to partake of today. It's the whole deal. If you are Jesus's, you're Jesus's. You're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price. And
so, and the first stop that you have on that whole thing is that, remember with that part where you talk about, where Jesus talks about, and whoever shall lose his life for my sake, whoever shall lose his life for my sake, shall gain it. And there's a couple references, and maybe somebody can pull it up or think of on that front. But it's really where you choose to lay down your life. You make him Lord. Right. I mean, that's the first step. I mean, the Lord, we love the Savior part. And see, I had it. It was easy for me, the Savior part. I talked about it some in service there. That Savior part, what I had a tough time walking out was the Lord part. That took some years, didn't it, Paul? It wasn't like, it didn't happen
doesn't
right
come
away.
Natural to us, man.
Yeah, it didn't happen for me right away. Some people make that choice. I was not one of them. Yeah. But praise be to God, it's just grace has just manifested more and more.
Yeah.
And so glory to him, and here I am. I mean, praise the Lord. But that's where, I mean, where, that's where you really make the choice. Lord, what would you have me do today? Lord, what is it that I'm yours? I'm here to serve you. I'm yours. Here I am. And that's one of the first steps. Now, it's not if we stopped just right there. If we stopped just right there, the Lord has a way that this works out. Okay, because he does have that line of authority. We have disciples, and a lot of times we will pray for the direction. We will want to get that direction to go forward in that direction. A lot of times that direction, one, it could be just manifested to you that day, for an example. Or a lot of these direction also will come through down through your discipler. When you go seek his counsel. And the biggest thing about that is you come to him with everything. How are you going to get clear counsel? How are you going to get clear counsel if you're not sitting there giving him everything? I mean, if you just give him pieces, you're talking about the smorgasbord.
You're talking about being open with your disciple.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's going on? How you handle the situation, or how to go forward in handling a situation that has come up, or and certain things. Now, not everything is drawn, you know, you don't go ask them when you go to sleep, and none of that. That's what I'm getting at. But that direction comes down all the time. It's made clear. It's made manifest. That opportunity is right there for you on these fronts. And how this works, and we can draw this out in Scripture, most of us already know, though.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most of us already know. I mean, we can go to John 17. We can go to John 17 and look how that line of authority works. And not, I pray for not these alone, but also for them that hear them. But I should read it, actually. But go ahead. You look like you want to say something there, Brad.
It looks like you're doing it. I hope it's not too much of a digression, but you know, you're talking about having trouble making him your Lord. I think that I had trouble allowing him to be my Savior early on, because now that I know a little more, I've been taught more, I understand it. To understand that Christ could be a Savior to a man, you start with open confession of sin, obviously. You understand that he's God. And I had that, but I spent a long, long time feeling like now I needed to live out a life that I can't. I'm in my flesh. I can't do it. I mean, no man can do it. So that walking that out is faith working by love, you know. The breastplate of righteousness is the breastplate of faith and love. And so these sorts of things, you know, through my past, when somebody would say, you know, you need to make him Lord or whatever, my internal reaction was, yeah, I need to quit this and do that, and I'm not getting right. You know, and all that stuff, it needs to be there. I mean, there's a walking out of it. But there was no peace. There was no joy in it. And over a period of time, it just felt like a dry branch or something. And I think the difference over the last months is understanding that it's, you know, Christ in me. Oh, glory.
The thing that most of us approach discipling as an adversarial relationship, and we just figure that if God wants to fix something in us, he's going to tell the discipler what it is, and if nothing comes out, then we got what he would. This week meeting or whatever the deal is.
Dodge the bullet.
That's just not the case. The case is left on our own. We're going to do, and you see it all over the nation today. What you see is you've got a nation who is pleased to get the kind of, you know, political representation we get, because they're going to leave us alone and not confront us on anything, and we just to figure that we're free to do anything we want until somebody stops us. You know, when that stop is your heart starts to stop beating, that's going to be an ugly truth that comes home to you. And that's what your discipler is for. He's to keep you from just going down that road until somebody stops you. He's sitting there trying to counsel you to go down the right road to become, as I was looking up to Hebrews, Without faith is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligently seeking, God does not come to people naturally. That's why you have a discipler.
Going back, amen. But I want to go back and address some of the things that Brad had said, because some of the things you had at trouble with the Savior part.
Yeah.
And it's rooted in pride, inevitably.
Exactly. That's really what kind of nailing on that. But really, what came to where a turn for you happened? What came for you when I seen it happen? I mean, one day we come and visit. But what the point place for you to decide was that you said, "I am broken.
Can't be fixed.
I am broken." So you recognize that all that at this point, because you still, even though you would confess that you were broken, you still not completely believe that you were. And in fact, and what I mean by that is because when somebody would present you another way, what would happen is you would reject. So in sense, you can say all day with your mouth that, oh, I am broken. Oh, I am broken. But what your action was saying was, not, oh no, I got this. No, I got this. No, I'm not broken. No, I got this figured out. I got the, you know, my way's a better way. My way's a better way. But it came to that place where you finally decided, where you realized, where you finally actually realized and saw it for yourself. And it through be many experiences and counsels and all these things, but where you got realized yourself that, you know what, you were broken and your way did suck. It sucked.
You could turn a phrase at times.
And then that's the place where then you could actually see it and repent and what? Turn.
And you know where that came out, Martin?
Go ahead. You tell me.
All right. Well, Paul, you were talking about a discipler. Davey had some interaction with my wife that I found unpalatable. And so I called
Charlie. Happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I called Charlie and my discipler, and what came out of my mouth and what came out of my heart, I realized I had a lot of really old hurt, a lot of old stuff, and I thought I was past it. Or honestly, before the Lord, I really thought that I had forgiven and that I was past it. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when I got back and actually... You know, call ended, and it was dark out on the porch, and I'm listening, kind of going back and listening to myself. I went, I'm without hope. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It, all that trash was still right there. And that's when I realized I am utterly without hope. I need a Savior.
And all the things that were coming down that direction... And, you know, I remember those sequence events and all those things. They were actually for all your good.
Your clearly now.
Your family's good.
Clearly. But not in the moment.
I mean, I might have
even told you that I understood that. But when I looked at my response after I hung up with Charlie, my disciple, I wasn't receiving it that way at all. And in the knowledge that, oh my goodness, I'm... trying not to go into any four-letter expletives here. I'm utterly hosed. I'm without hope. And I was talking to Davey, and that's what I said, man. It's like all this stuff came up. It's like I'm broken, and I can't be fixed. And I think Robin may have... I know she got misty-eyed, but and Davey just said, Brad, we're all like that. We're all like that.
And it was that. It was at that place. And see, all that was to your good. Now, in your mind, in your carnal mind, all that was for your what?
Bad.
And you think it was, and see, you know, we talked about that, you know, and here's the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light. Did you end up coming to the light? See, that light was exposing exactly where you're at, and what you saw was your own heart and where it was at, and then you can realize that I've been in error. And was there condemnation when you turned from that? Was there condemnation on you? No. What was there? Freedom, liberty, peace with the Lord.
And it gets it gets kind of magnified in my eyes because, like, I was out at the ranch's past conference, and Ricky was telling me, man, there's been a lot of grace extended to you, a lot. And, I mean, now, I mean, I, you know, you kind of know, but then you really know, and now I really know. And it, I put the people around me through a lot of unnecessary hardship, and you're, both you guys are in the mix with that. You know, I can't fix what was, but I haven't got anything except joy that's like, oh, thank God.
I could care less. I mean, joy. Brad, I was in tears. I mean, when you were ordained and these shifts happened and all these things. I mean, it was an exciting thing for me in the midst of it. But, I mean, so all those things are gone. But see, that's what Jesus come to. He used that line of authority. He used his servants and his body to minister unto you in a time of need. He did not come into this world to condemn the world because it was condemned already. You're already walking around condemned is what was going on. He was trying to release you from that condemnation that you were putting yourself under.
And something else that's really cool on the back end of that.
Manifested. But go ahead.
I was talking to, I don't remember who, but I said, yeah, you know, I'll see the brothers get together. It's like I'm on the outside of the circle. I may be inside the circle of chairs or whatever, but it's like I'm on the outside. And I believe it was Charlie, and he said, well, there's a fellowship in the Spirit, and you're not in that, you know? And I kind of, you know, you hear something, and you know it's right, but I couldn't pick my way through it. And now, there's a fellowship that I did not have.
And, you know, I looked up that word, you know, what it's talking about, kind of reminded me of 1 John, and he's talking about, and truly our fellowship was with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
And He's talking about us as there as the apostles. There's really no way around. And really, He's talking about so you can be joined unto that same fellowship. You know what that fellowship means? You can be right next to me, Brad. You can be right next to me. But if you don't agree with Him, that fellowship is not there.
That is the key. That makes you a partaker of the great stuff that's in Romans 8:28 and following.
Ephesians and
yeah, all that stuff, all that great stuff that's there for you is in that agreement. That is so important.
Yeah,
that one little verse.
And 8:28, you notice is they that are called of God, the called. It doesn't say
the called.
So that's purposely, you know, that and it's taken out of text all the time, but that what that is talking about is that elect seed.
Yes.
Okay. But what you have there is that, what is that elect seed there for? To hand out those
blessings
so that others can partake of the same thing.
The mysteries, the stuff that's unknowable without them.
Right. But just as Elijah could partake of it. See, so when you are in agreement with that, see, that's where you can then partake of the same. And the reason why, it goes all the way back in, because it's not about that person. Okay, it's not about Steve or David. No, it's because they agree with what?
Spirit,
the
word.
Father, and truly our fellowship is with what? The Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. They're in absolute, total agreement.
Absolutely.
With them. And see, and that's when you partake of all those things. And that, see, with the discipler, what a discipler is there to help you do is the disciples help you to walk into that freedom of Jesus Christ, to help you grow in Jesus Christ, to become a servant of His, just like they are, just like Paul was, just like John was. And it's a good thing. And so, but go ahead.
I have a proposition for you. I mean, and see what you think about it. God didn't take Israel out of Egypt and put them in the desert without a plan, right?
Right.
He had a purpose. Now, in a sense, He was training Moses to be the discipler of the whole nation. But the whole purpose and totality of the whole thing was to show Israel His faithfulness, His goodness, His provision, so they could learn His It's just like where Jesus in John 13 starts washing, he gets a towel down and starts washing feet. And he tells the disciples, I'm doing this to show you how it's done. This is what ministering Jesus Christ makes you, a servant of all. And the same thing's going on back in the desert with Israel. And there were only two people who received it and learned the truth.
Amen. And see, that's the whole thing. You said he was a discipler for Moses. It was for everybody, totality. And Jesus is showing him, he goes, you see my power, but will you learn my ways? And you know, that way.
Know me.
And that was not just for Moses. That
no.
Was for all of them.
All of them. Absolutely.
And it's right there for us.
Yeah.
It's right there for
type and shadow, the same kind of relationship. He wants to try and reveal himself to us that we may, Paul says in Philippians, that I may know him.
And you look at Joshua. Look at Joshua, because Joshua took heed to Moses' call. See, everybody else could have took heed to Moses' call, but you look at Joshua, and I really pinpoint Joshua here. And the reason why I do is because Joshua was with Moses all the time. Okay, Joshua was a servant unto Moses. Remember? And I mean, he was with him all the time. I mean, he was right there, right there, right there, as much as he possibly could, and learned as much as he possibly would from Moses. And you take Joshua, and he grabbed a hold of that promise. He was one of that grabbed, and so did Caleb. They believed God. They grabbed a hold of that promise, and they walked it out. And it's no different. Do we do the same? We got the same opportunity. We each have disciples set over us. We have the same opportunity to do just that. But see, if you don't use that, if you take granted, because see, that's a blessing to you. I mean, it's a blessing to you, and it's a gift to you. Really, really is.
They didn't start the wandering through the desert, right, until after the spies went in. I mean, the 40 years started then, right?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look back. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, yeah, right? But not really. But the point is, when the spies, when they went in to spy out the promised land, the ones who came back with the report, the spies who came back with the report, there were 10 that said, oh, they're like giants. We're like grasshoppers. They're like giants. Right. The two that exposed themselves to be the lords were Joshua and Caleb, who said, let's go take that thing. They had learned what they needed to learn.
Absolutely.
And they agreed with it.
Absolutely.
They had gotten to know God as the provider of all things. They had gotten to know him as their salvation and their Lord.
And the other thing that, the reason why I want to highlight Joshua and what he did with Moses is because in this verse, and I was at
that's
17.
That's the way it went.
I want
yeah.
to read this verse. It says in 17:20, 1 John 17, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, Joshua recognized Moses as God's man.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, he recognized that line of authority and knew. Okay, he didn't have faith in Moses and the thing. No,
he knew
faith.
If he latched onto that and served Moses, then that was his calling. That was what he was called to do.
Right. He had a faith in the Lord. He knew that was God's man. It didn't matter if Moses defaulted and had these issues and all these.
Right.
It didn't matter.
That's right.
That was God's man. And look, if he would turn around and serve him, he would and trust the Lord, he would get everything he needed. And he knew for himself the promise of God and what God was given unto him. And I'm talking about Joshua. He believed God for him, and not just for him alone, but for others also. But whether they chose to believe it, latch on to it, he could not do. But Joshua went in.
Yeah.
Joshua went in. But he believed on who? What did he say? Believed for them also, but believe on me through their word. Who did he believe on? He believed on Jesus.
Absolutely.
Through Moses' word.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay? It's not a belief on Moses. It's a belief on Jesus through his
word. It's a belief on the word.
Yep. And his way. And he understood his way.
Absolutely.
Okay? And you can't go around. You can't circumvent that way that the Lord has set up. It's for your good. People try to do it all the time, and it just does not work.
That's the connection. Will you learn my ways? You've seen my power. Will you learn my ways? That's what they got. That was the connection.
And how good is that to send somebody right there? I mean, because I'm sorry. If I was just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and had not have somebody over me to teach me and walk this out, I'm sorry, but that would be really hard. I wouldn't have made it. You're right. I wouldn't be at where I'm at today. But God loved me enough to send somebody down who's been through what I've been through, who's walked out what I've walked out, and is helping me to walk out that which is before me, the race that is before me, and to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. He has sent somebody to help me along that way. How loving is that? Somebody that's been there.
Well,
flesh and blood.
If you can get around the fleshly aspect of these guys that are helping you, pointing out flaws. I mean, when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men, and those gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Right? I mean, that's people that are helping you out, people in the body. I went back to, I got cross wires on the inside, right? And I'm looking back at how things would hit me in the past, and learn my ways and listen to the people over you, and it sounds like kind of like eat your spinach, you know. But this is Matthew 11:28, Jesus speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, and that's what we want. We want that rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden light."
That's the place where he tells you, I can beat it in your head. I have that authority. I don't want that. I want you to agree with me and take this yoke and learn of me. That's the same admonition that people came out of Egypt with. Learn my ways. Will you learn my ways?
Absolutely. And, you know, you're talking about the eat your spinach deal and all these things.
Oh,
see,
yeah.
It's a matter of perspective. See, it's all for your good. And that's the thing. I mean, I can count how many times where it's been such, I mean, where, you know, where David says, thy staff and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The correction, because I was getting off the beaten path and got kicked back into play, or they, I guess that would be the rod. And the staff of just knowing that direction, that comfort, because I got comfort through my discipler, and all good things come down from the Father of lights. It's coming down through his line of authority, and I've had it where, man, some load of condemnation messed up so badly, and if I didn't have, and I didn't reach out to that who is pointed over me at that time, I would have never got back up.
Kick each other into play.
I would have never got back up. And, you know, I was heavy laden.
Well,
and the Lord used that guy to pick my butt up, wipe the dust off my backside. Wash my feet. Say, go for it again, man. Praise God, he's good. And he has somebody there personally to react with you and to talk with you. In that sense, it's just awesome, man.
And I mean, Jesus
it's a
says,
great thing.
When Peter says, how many times are we going to do this? He says, however many it takes.
Yeah.
I tell you, ten times seven.
I mean, time and time again.
Seven times 70, something like that.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Until 70 times seven.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the math, the equation, the actual numbers, I forget the numbers, but the equation, the same equation is like
a lot.
Really? You're going to really?
Yeah.
But how many times? How many times? It's always been a breakthrough, a good thing, a breakthrough, a good thing. Either it be correction, either it be get off, you know, wiping the dust off you. I mean, it's all the same in the sense of it's a loving and it's a provoking to going forward in the Lord and grabbing a hold of His promise, grabbing a hold of that promised land, and not seeing these things as giants, but as the victory that Christ has always already given you, and grabbing hold on to that. It's always an encouragement in that direction. Always.
And it's
a good thing.
And you have to understand, for that to work, you have to understand the nature of the God you serve. I mean, in that verse in Matthew, He said, "Come to me because I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart." You were talking about an old man with a rock and a, you know, grizzly beard and a lightning bolt. Boy, that was a God I served for a long time. I might have said a lot of stuff, but in my mind,
Brad, and that's not. See, that's a false God. Okay.
Yeah.
See, Satan is the one that is that way.
And let's do our own devices. We'll sit there and, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm sitting, you know, I'm going to get recompense for this. I know that there's a getting even coming. And the truth of the matter is, every time I expected that I was going to get the rod, there was grace and mercy ministered to me, because that's the Lord we serve. And that's what I needed. And yeah, I screwed up. Big shock. That's what we do. We're screw ups. He knows that. He doesn't reject us because we're screw ups. He's
already paid the price.
He's already paid the price
for that. He's already paid the price. And that's the thing. I mean, remember that service where I talked about? He goes, some mean, nasty guy that he's going to, you know, hammer you because you did wrong and all these things. And he goes, you know, I've already paid for that. Get up and walk on. And even at the same time, though, Paul, I mean, you're talking about the rod because the correction comes. I mean, we'd be bastards if we don't have it, right?
Chastisement, correction.
But what I mean by there, even then, that's a good thing. I mean, I remember coming to that place of just recognize something. I mean, you're sharing these things with Steve and recognizing how I really am, and I saw myself for who I really am. And the only shock that it really was to anybody,
you,
was me. All right, Jesus already knew that I was that way. He already put me in certain places while He knew I was that way. It didn't matter. But one thing it did, it just made me more mindful. 10 times more mindful of my service to Him and to others. All right, now, it was a good thing.
You said your five opened up and manifested to you how what it was working. What was working to you? While I was yet His enemy, He died for me. Yeah, he didn't wait for me to get perfect. He died for me when I was His enemy.
Right.
That doesn't get any better than that. I deserve to be beat and executed.
And what you have, and you're talking about one of the things that where you were expecting a rod and all these things, Paul, you already knew you had screwed up. You had already came to that place. And the reason is, a lot of times when the correction comes, we don't have a clue we're in that place. And then the correction comes and that light shines and we recognize, and we're not in a great place with all these things. And then what we get is, now I realize. And then you can have the opportunity to turn and repent. And then you're mindful. You learn something. You learn a better way. And it's a great thing.
Yeah, and if you understand that the God that's bringing the correction, that guy with the lightning bolt, took on the form of flesh. Right? Same God.
Amen.
So welcome home.
And the other point of that, and I was talking about, you know, we get that image of God, this mean, nasty, and that's not Him. And see, what Satan likes to do is, see, he likes throwing these, he loves throwing stuff at you. All this garbage, all these lies, all these deceits, man, and all this, and he wants to instill in you that God is evil.
And your own flesh, because if there's no hope in God, I might as well do whatever I was going to do anyway.
Well, he just wants
all good things come down from the Father of lights.
And in Him is light, and there's no darkness at all. But that's his M.O. I mean, did he not? Remember when he went to Eve at the garden? Oh, he doesn't want you to eat of that because you can be gods like him.
That's right.
Remember that?
Which he is wanted what Satan still, wanted.
It, what he was imputing on God right there was he was imputing an Eve on God right there was that God's evil and he's trying to hold something back from you. See, sure. And say, Satan tries to do that all the time. And we get, man, we get in league with that enemy, we in league with that flesh, we will start thinking the same way. We might not say it, right?
No.
But our actions sure does show it.
Yeah.
Our attitude sure does show it.
You're talking about the goodness of God. Is it James?
And how many times we got this situation, we're like, you know, why is this happening to me? We're just in judgment of God thinking that. And it's the whole time, it's the enemy doing it. And he wants to make you think it's God. It's just wrong. Or we put impute what's in ourselves on him.
Yeah.
God in him has no variableness.
Most often that. Returning.
What's that?
Most often that.
Most often that.
Yeah. We do it to each other.
Yeah.
Say it ain't so.
That's how we are.
Hey, James, you're awful quiet, bro. What's up? Oh, connection's going?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. You know, when you were talking about the children in the desert, and it's called the Promised Land, and Moses, or let's say Jacob, or Joshua and Caleb, they believed God, and that land was promised to them. They believed God was faithful.
Well, there's a promised land ahead of us, too. And God is faithful.
Well, every good thing of the Lord is a promise if we will believe Him.
For it.
Absolutely.
And see, and that's why Joshua and Caleb could walk in that perspective of, man, it's good for our taking. Despite of the giants in there, despite of the things, or despite of all those things in the carnal, that's why and that's how they could look at it as this land is good for a taking. All they saw was the good things of the land. Let's see, that's all they acknowledged.
In the Lord's promise.
In the Lord's promise. Absolutely. See, and that's the promise all before us right now. But you don't want to fall. It's right there for you. Don't choose to believe anything else. See, it's the enemy that's spoken. There's giants over there. You're going to go over there. He's setting up to be killed. And that's what, see, that's what the others that walked in unbelief.
Well, they saw the giants in the walled cities because they could see that.
But what was the motive that they put in? If you remember, you look
brought
back
me out here to kill me.
Yeah.
We have Davey who's joined in on
the call. Sweet. Praise God.
Hey, Brother Davey.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today?
Well, thank
you. Doing fine. Thank you.
Well, you got a good discussion going on. A couple little things I'd like to bring out, if I can.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
You're talking about the line of authority, and you were mentioning Moses and other things. You know, the children of Israel, when they came out of the desert, their problem was is they were looking at God and Moses in the sense that Moses was to be with God.
Yeah.
And that's how people look at their ministers today. It's up to the minister to be with God.
Right.
Now, they don't realize it's got to be God being with the minister. Now, God was definitely with Moses.
Right.
And it was God that led them out of Egypt right up to the Red Sea. And yet they blamed Moses as if it was his fault. Yet Moses was obeying God by leading them there. How else were they going to see the power of God for deliverance?
Right.
Do you see what I mean? But because they were looking at Moses to be with God, they figured Moses screwed up and led them into a place where they were going to be slaughtered.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I see.
You see it?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. But it was God that led Moses to a place where God could show his power.
Amen.
Amen. All
right. Now, let's take Paul and Silas for a minute. Paul had a vision of a man praying. God said, go. So Paul went, and Silas went with him. And they get there, and guess what happened? He gets thrown in prison. Now, did Silas say, turn to Paul and say, Paul, you stupid idiot, you screwed up again?
No.
Absolutely not. Because Paul and Silas knew that Paul wasn't with God because of what Paul did. God was with Paul because God chose to be. And God was going to use Paul however he wanted to use him. And that there was no way God could accomplish what he was going to accomplish through that jailer with Paul, except it happened the way it happened.
That's right.
Absolutely. And when people start looking at their minister as though he is responsible to be with God, then it takes all responsibility
off them.
Off them and puts it on the minister. That's and right. Yet, the truth of the matter is, I don't care if it's a discipler, I don't care if it's a pastor, or whatever, if the people will begin to look at the situation as that God has to be with that minister, or with that discipler, then the responsibility is put on God. And if God doesn't want to be with that minister, he'll let you know it. But in the right way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So to be free in the Lord is to be able to trust God. That's the freedom. And how can you be trusting God if you're constantly judging the pastor or the minister? There is no freedom in judgment.
Absolutely not.
That's right.
That's worth repeating. There is no freedom in judgment for you or for the ones you're judging.
That's what he means when he says, judge not lest you be judged.
That's right. But yet, if we judge ourselves, then we're not judged. Why? Because we find ourselves guilty, and we call upon the mercy and grace of the Lord, and he is faithful and righteous to forgive us.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to go back to listening.
All right. Thank you for chiming in.
Yeah, thank you.
This is one of your better programs.
Thank you, sir.
I've been enjoying it.
This was good.
Talk to you later.
All right. Bye, David. Bye-bye. Thank you.
This is, you know, kind of the same kind of thing that was going on, what I'm talking about. We're pleased to have, to be able to do anything we want until somebody stops us. That doesn't mean you're right. That just means you haven't been stopped yet. And,
or ignorant.
And to receive, I mean, you know, after Davey popping back up, just receiving the word that came down through your discipler or your minister, that's just the word of God.
Yep.
I mean, in the sense of just, hey, that's what it is to do, man. The Lord loves me. That's what I said, trust and obey. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to obey him. It's very simple. Yeah. It's a very simple concept. It's not anybody can do that. You know,
really hard in the moment, though.
I hear you. I mean, that stuff, I mean, I'm talking to Steve and the things that were set before me, the situations I ran into, they've been kind of some challenging things to go about that way, talking to some certain people or some people at work and all these things, something I didn't really want to do, but it's amazing. I mean, just receiving it as the word of the Lord and the direction he has, because The Lord set him over me. He's good. You trust the Lord. There's freedom there. I go do that which he told me to do. And what happens?
Whatever needed to happen. It's good.
Absolutely.
I mean, was it Eli? His sons were messing up as priests.
I tell you what, time and time again, it just expounded. It had a hard time with it. Didn't want to because it was challenging for me to go into that place.
Across the grain of the flesh.
Right? But gone and doing it, trusting the Lord, it's always been above, exceedingly above I can ask or think.
And when you wade into this stuff, and I remember... We bounce a lot of work stuff back and forth because you're ahead of me in the management game, and I'm grateful to have a sounding board. But you know, I believe you said it was Steve that told you. You end up having to bring something to a subordinate's attention, and it's the old man in us, the thing in us that wants to be liked by this very person that we're having to dress down. But when you do that, then it's good for you, but it's also very good for the person if they'll just receive it. And that the thing that made that come to mind is. If somebody over you, or however it comes to you, they bring something to you and it doesn't... Look, I want to be a nice guy. You know, I want to be... I mean, everything that seems so right in my own eyes can be so utterly wrong. And then somebody will bring something to me, and I don't want to do it. And it's not even just that... You know, I know the flesh is slick, right? And I realize it's rebellion, but it doesn't seem like rebellion. It seems like I'm being told something that's just not... quite line it up with what I understand. Like what you're saying, you went ahead and pushed through that thing. And I remember you saying the old man was bristling. But because Steve suggested or told you to do it, you did it. And sure enough, the result is what you just described. It was good for you and good for the individuals you had to talk to. Okay, that's it for me.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I'll just remember explaining to you that situation was kind of a little bit of a different subject. Kind of, not really. But it's... when I was talking about the Lion of Judah, okay, and that really sometimes, in that sense of bringing somebody to a choice, to a place of choice, on a certain thing to either go forward in or to not go forward in, but that bringing that choice accountability before them, and that is a very loving thing. And now how that looks to the natural man, we see we don't want to do that because that seems so mean.
Harsh,
but it's absolutely the right thing to do in some of the situations. A lot of that challenge in that my walk before me was to do some of those things in that sense. But where you, it was just kind of going back to what Davey said earlier. I love that. When you trust in the Lord, there's freedom.
Amen to that.
With no judgment, there's freedom. See, if you're judging that word that's come down to you...
Yeah,
just what good is it going to do?
Yeah,
you're not agreeing with it.
That.
Yeah, I mean, you don't agree.
It's going to stink to be you. Not right. Going to get any better.
We were talking about fellowship. We were talking about agreeing.
Right. It's fellowship and the Spirit.
Yeah, fellowship. And it's talking about the agreeing, man. When that thing's presented, it's... You agree with that. It's so much easier to go because you see. I mean, you can just see it. And you trust the Lord. There's freedom there. His freedom. You know what? I mean, the Moses, the promise that, you know, Joshua and Caleb that they retained was Moses told them God's promise.
They accepted it.
They believed it.
And when they went in the land, I think somebody asked Caleb, are you able to do this? He was 80. He didn't just say, yeah. He said, I am well able. And he went in and kicked some tushy.
Yeah. Lord's given me that. See, responsibility, and I like that part where he said, see, and that puts the responsibility on the ministers when they to see if the minister is still with God, you know, and all, and what Davey was saying there, it takes off the responsibility of yourself. That's why people like to do that, and it's really this, no, Paul was God's man, not because, and Moses was God's man, not because Moses did anything or Paul did anything. No, just because God chose to be with them.
Yeah.
And that responsibility where you, you know, I look at Philippians, you look at in Philippians where it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The responsibility to you for you to walk out that faith is on you, not on your discipler. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're not just judging the word, we're judging the man.
Yeah.
And if it's the Lord, man, that he's with him,
yeah,
that's an unrighteous judgment. And that's the whole point of judge not lest you be judged. You don't want to be judged unrighteously. In fact, you don't want to be judged at all.
But to hold your own life up to the word, which is what I got out of what David said, to hold your own life up to the word and judge your own life against the word and find yourself falling short and confess it. That's life at peace. That's a healthy thing.
Yeah, and you know those disciples are there for you to direct. We're talking about that working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You got that. I remember the preaching of it going that believe the gospel for you personally. See, you're not going to be saved if my discipler believes the gospel. I don't.
Well, no.
You know, I'm not going to be saved by because somebody else believes and I don't. That doesn't work that way. See, these things just, you know what? Joshua and Caleb, they got the promised land. It was up to them to choose to believe that word that was given to them.
It's the whole thing with the old adversarial relationship with the disciple. If you assume that if you're judging him not to be right with God, and you're not even looking at the right thing, which is the God with him.
but you see, if you trust the Lord.
If you trust the Lord,
what does it
none
matter?
None of that. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, let's say the guy fell off the deep wagon. Something fell down. And all of a sudden, I mean, but you who cares about all that? You trust the Lord. How is that going to affect
one way or the other? The rightness and wrongness of the disciple.
I mean, remember Moses struck the rock because he struck the rock the second time. He did not enter in.
David killed Uriah.
But all these things, it just didn't matter. Joshua and Caleb still had the responsibility of believing the promise of God. Because it had to do with
and they were still in the office they were in until the Lord took them out of their office.
Absolutely.
Until the end of their life. So, and they still, you know, if anything had made what they had to say hard to take, I mean, it wasn't going to get any easier to take if you didn't believe the Lord. You know, if you did, then what's it to you? What Moses has done or not done in the favor? Is he in the Lord's favor? Is he not in the Lord's favor? Is what that to you?
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah.
That's the problem, see? And he's done his job.
Right. Quit judging the minister. Quit all that judgment. Trust in the Lord. Go forward as what's put out in front of you because it's a good opportunity for you to walk it out. I mean, how bad is that? Hey, the Lord, I'm going to deliver you out of bondage and I'm going to give you a promised land.
I like that.
I mean, I got good things for you.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right, let's do that. But it's
I don't know, man. I got leeks and onions.
Yeah.
They beat me sometimes, but they feed me.
But how many times have we been there ourselves? I mean.
I was just thinking, Joshua and Caleb, it had to be a little lonely. And I was like, there's a couple of us here. That, yeah. I know we're right. And like, who was it? He says, I'm the last one and you're seeking my life. Is that Elijah? The Lord said, I got 7,000 men hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. You feel like you're on a pretty lonely road sometimes.
But
what's your sister like it, though?
I mean, what bad news is it? I mean, we preach the gospel here. This is for your freedom. And no! Hey, you want to walk with the power of the Lord? Here's opportunity. No! I mean,
I got more leeks and onions, man.
Has nothing. I mean, but that's right there. See, when we or anybody get in that place of it's like we something we don't want to do, that's when we start looking. That's when we start judging. That's when we start seeing if that counsel was right or wrong and all these things.
Yeah, but if you're maintaining a fellowship, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
If you're maintaining good, solid fellowship with the brothers around you, then we pick each other up, and they know we're Christians by our love one for another. And that's a tangible love. That's a love that says, I know you got flooded out, move in, or you know what, I know your truck's down, use my truck. All that kind of stuff, it comes into play. We're not called to do this alone.
No, but there are things and challenges that you need to face.
I was grinning because I realized you're doing it with me.
what you have is, I hear you say that, but the Lord is well able. I mean, you look at, Amen. You know, kind of going back to that Joshua and Caleb. I know we're kind of beating over the dead horse, but what you have right there is you got two people that believe the word, and they chose to believe that word. You had the other of that first generation, all but two, did not. And it's your choice to believe that word. It all comes down. They'd enter in because of what? Unbelief. They just did not believe the word. They judged Moses. They judged God's man. They just chose not to believe that promise. No matter what happened, that promise was still God's promise. That did not sway. They chose not to believe it. They didn't receive it. I can't make you believe. I can't make anybody else believe. I can frame it up for you to make a choice to believe.
You can extend grace and mercy and mirror the heart of Christ.
Right, but I can't make you believe it. And it can't be... And you know, that's where Philippians really boils down. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Go ahead.
That's where, you know, that our Lord is well able. Is that's the revelation to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look, he can't save us whether he does or not. We're still not going to bow down.
This thing and we're just settled.
Amen.
That's a life and death decision that you make because you believe the Lord.
Amen. Amen. The relief in that. It's a simple choice. It's just so awesome. Believe and trust in the faith that He has put in you. It's not even banked on your faith. Believe and trust in what He has accomplished. He was resurrected from the dead in power, given us. He has done it all. We got to just choose to believe it. Trust Him. It's a simple choice, and anybody can do that. Your kids can do that. My kids can do that. Anybody can do that. That it's a simple thing. And praise God, because it's not based on anything.
With us.
All right. We have a minute to wrap. So let's get it out. Hour's already up. So let's thank everybody for joining us. And
God bless you all.
That's right. Say goodbye, Philip.
May the Lord bless everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you all for joining us. James, speak up.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody. And we hope you'll join us next time for the Hour of Truth. Until then, may the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the Donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.